Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. Today, I resume my conversation with Bobby Rush, a legendary blues man and a two-time Grammy Award winner. Your recollection, your stories. I'm sitting on the edge of my studio seat here.
Oh, man.
They are so riveting, and they're so heartfelt, and they really paint a picture of an ugly underbelly of what musicians like yourself and some of the others that you mentioned had to cope with, persevere, and to continue to produce that music, that beautiful music that you produce and that you share with so many people then and now, and your strength through it all. Does it have something to do with your upbringing, your grounding from family?
Yeah, I think it has. Well, I'm just blessed. First, the grace of God just got me covered. My dad was a preacher, but he was my best friend. When I look back on it, he was the best leader in my life, influenced me more than anyone that I could think of, besides the music. It wasn't about the music, because my daddy was a preacher, and he was an upright man. He never told me to sing the blues, but he never told me not to, because if he had said not to, I would have never sung the blues. I don't believe I would have never sung, because I wouldn't have went against the grain with what he thought I should or should not do. And so I thank him every day. I thank God every day that my father in my life, you know, and my uncles and aunties and the whole bit. On my granddaddy's side, he had two wives. He had 18 children by each one of them. And 21 of them live over 100 years old.
Wow.
21 of them children. That's my uncles and aunties. I think my strength comes from just being blessed. My daddy, who I believed in so hard, Holly, you know, God. And I just remember my daddy, when I was 8 years old, my cousin gave me a guitar, and I hid it. I thought I hid it. You know, you can't hide anything from your parents. When you're young, you think you can, right. But they knew. So one day he told me, he said, Junior, I'm named after my father. I said, yes, sir. I was happy because I thought he wanted to go to town or take me to the store or something. You know, go with him. He said, bring me that guitar here, boy. Man, I got nervous because I didn't know he knew I had a guitar. I called myself hiding the guitar because I didn't want him to tell me to play in the gospel. I play in the church because I didn't want to play in the church. I wanted to play Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, Johnny Hooker. That's what I wanted to play. I knew what I wanted to do. He brought it, and I brought it to him, and I didn't know he could play at all. He tuned my guitar up and said, boy, let me play a song I used to sing for a little girl when I was a little older than you. Man, I got up in the front of his lap because I thought he going to sing glory, glory, hallelujah when I laid my burden down. I either sing about my mama. My mama's in the kitchen cooking. The first thing he tuned it up, he said, me and my gal went to take a pin hunting. She fell down and I saw something. I said, daddy. can you be like a little kid, 8 years old, said his daddy to me, he saw something. I wanted to ask him what he saw so bad, but I couldn't fix my mouth to ask him, your daddy what he saw. You know, I'm thinking about the under yonder, you know. And I said, daddy, I said, sing it again. Because if he couldn't sing it again, I was thinking about going in the kitchen and getting me a pencil and paper. If he couldn't say it, draw it. So just draw what you saw, you know. But he sung it again. So me and my gal went to shake it, hun. She fell down and I saw something. And my mama said, you mean don't sing that kind of song to that boy. He went to sing it again. My mama was coming up behind. He said, me and my gal went to shake it. And I said, daddy, daddy. How big was he? He was a 350-pound boy. I said, about this wide. He raised his hand, about the high wide of 350-pound woman. I said, what's she had on, daddy? He said, nothing but a dress, boy. What do you think she had on? Now, in my mind, it's running now. Fat lady falling down with nothing on but a dress. And I would imagine what the wind was blowing, you know, if you understand what I'm saying.
I follow you.
That's what. And I couldn't ask my daddy that. And he went to sing it again. He said, me and my dad went to take it, man. She fell down. My mama walking up behind. She fell down. And I kept running. That was all this song. And ever since I've been writing, I always write things with two meanings. double entendre, you know? And I never said, I wrote this big ass, big song, said, Sue, she's a good one, and sit on the high stool, sit on the low stool. Well, I didn't never say anything. I was like Jane Brown, so say it loud. I'm black and I'm, the band said, I'm black and I'm proud. Jane Brown ain't said never, say it loud. He ain't never said nothing about no racial thing or nothing. He just said, say it loud.
And
the backgrounds, I said, oh, I'm black and I'm proud. But anyway, I learned from that. That's what I learned through the years from the musician, the entertainer, been around. I learned through some mistakes that I made in life, and everything that I've done in life, all the mistakes I made, I'm not sorry about them. I would do the same thing again if I had to do them all over again, because what I did at the time I did them, I thought I was right to do. That was the best thing I could do at the time I did it. So I would do it again, because I did the best of my knowledge what to do, you know? So even if it's a mistake, and if you learn from a mistake, it's really not a mistake in a way. It's a stepping stone to life, what you should or should not do.
I am so educated by your words and...
Oh, let me tell you something. You know, I was sitting down eating. When you say you're going to call me, I said, ma'am, get that talk to my... I told the guy was with me. I said, get that talk to my old buddy again. I call it old buddy because I relate to you so well, being who you are and where you've been, part of the country you come from, and you relate to me of where I'm coming from and who I am as a man, especially as a musician, as a black musician. You can relate to all of that. And I want to say to you, before we get too far in it, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing, because what you say about me, what people perceive me to be. So thank you for your kind words.
Well, I'm honored, and thank you for those kind words. I am honored and feel it. So every chance I get to speak with you and other forerunners of the blues like yourself, and I just feel it's a privilege, and that I want to provide a platform for you and others to share your stories that really educate many, many people who may never meet you, who may hear your music, but will never meet you. But these words that you're sharing with us today will echo for days and months and years to come. And I want to thank you for your time. And I guess Little Richard, any stories of Little Richard?
Man, well, you know, I guess we 7-8 months apart in our age bracket. We all come up together. I just looked up to Little Richard and admired him so much. He did the same thing with me. So I was in Atlanta, Georgia, East Point, Georgia, about 35, 40 years ago. He hadn't come back to his hometown area in a while because the way they treated him when he was there. He talked about why, talked to me on person about why he didn't want to go back there. But that's a horse of another color. But I said, okay, Richard, fine. Let me, I had a big record called Chicken Heads. So I went back with them. Chicken Heads was a big, big record. Little Richard was quite nice. It was headlining. And that was 34 acts on the show. And I was next to Little Richard by his choice. There may be some act on there. Clowns Card, I think, at that time was bigger than I. Had a record. Stroking was a big record. But Little Richard was calling the shots because he just was into Bobby Rush. And we was friends. He had me starting this big festival. So when I got ready to get off to the stage, I had did a great show, and I was proud of myself. My chest was stuck out. I was coming up behind, Little Richard was coming up behind me, and I was glad to be on the stage with Little Richard. And he said, Bobby Rush, the band was going off. He said, don't leave the stage. I got something to tell you people. So he came on before he started singing. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make an announcement. And everybody got quiet. I think they thought maybe he was said he gonna retire or something, whatever, because they was listening so intense. He said, there's two guys in this music business, and they the prettiest guys in the world. And when he said prettiest guys in the world, he didn't say handsome, he said prettiest guys in the world. He said, that's myself and Bobby Rush. And man, I could have went through the floor, because I'm standing up there now waiting on him to introduce me. And he introduced me like that, and everybody said, whoa, like like he looked at me like a Little Richard boyfriend, girlfriend. I can tell the way he looked at me. You follow me?
Yes.
I said, oh, man, what I could have fell through the floor, man. The two prettiest men in this world. Shut up. That's myself and Bobby Rush. Come here, Bobby Rush. And I was ashamed to walk out of the I'll tell you. I was embarrassed. But he didn't mean anything about it other than me. We were friends. But the public looked at it from another standpoint. And I can tell they looked at like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, man. So that was one of them things, you know. So after that, Richard moved to Nashville, and I would see him every now and then, go up to see him. And he would always want me to come up, and he had company, but he would want to come on up to my room. And me and him talk for hours and hours. He would go through his Bible thing with me in this religion, what he believed, and he would console me about some things that do's and don'ts, and spiritually. And another personal thing we just talk about. And that's about it from that. And he just, after we were there for two or three minutes or so, probably 90% of the time, it wasn't about music. It was just me and him talking about life. And he was really bitter about how he was treated and robbed. He said he was robbed of his status of being a king of the rock and roll, you know? And he was bitter about that. Really, really bitter. He tried to hold it back a lot, but he was stone down bitter about that.
Well, let's talk about a few of the women who sing the blues that you've met during your career.
What the question was now?
Some of the women who sing the blues. Coco Taylor.
Ruth Brown, Coco Taylor, Denise LaSalle. Oh, God. Oh, come on. All and then all the gospel singers and the whole bit, Mahalia Jackson. Come on, everybody's in the entertainment business, man. Especially with the ladies, we want to get around because we went old all our lives.
Of course not.
Come on, you know I'd rather be with him, Mahalia Jackson, anytime to be with Rupert Thomas and Johnny Hooker. You know, yeah, but I remember. Something like Jane Brown when he got really on top. So Jane Brown and myself and a few other guys was in something South Carolina. So Jane Brown was going on live. Joe Simon was going on next to him. So Joe Simon and Fats Domino was on the show also. So they had this dressing room outside, and they had a cable, electric cable run inside, plugged in the wall. So they were debating on who gonna headline the show. Was gonna be Jane Brown or was gonna be Fats Domino. So I was in the dressing room dressing. So Jane Brown thought it was Fats Domino. So he pulled the plug out of the wall so the light would go on, so he could go on last. It was on me. So I dressed and had a white shoe on and a black shoe on, and came out because I couldn't see in the dressing room. When I came on the stage, everybody just raved and yelled and clapped because they thought I was so cool. I got a white shoe. But I couldn't see, man. And ever since then, I've been kind of dressed. I had a white coat on and some like like almost purple pants because I got the wrong pants. But they thought I did it intentionally. Oh, they thought I was the coolest cat in the world, man. With some purple pants on, white coat, white shoe, and a black shoe. So I got that kind of name from being the dressing kind of a kid, you know.
I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to Like It Is. My guest is Bobby Rush, a 16 times Blues Music Award winner. Well, you know, Bobby, you're a Southern man. I'm a Southern man. And one of the things that growing up in the South, culturally strong gospel bass, strong blues. Talk about our region, your region of the world, the South, how it helps to shape perhaps maybe some of the music and you spiritually and you musically.
Well, musically, when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about gospel and the blues. I didn't know too much jazz because that was no place I could get it and listen to it because we have to listen to John R., which is WALAC, out of Nashville to get what we had to get on the blues side. but they would play a lot of rock and roll, and on the radio, that's what I would hear, either country western, blues, or gospel. Not too much jazz, no place. That's what we had to listen to. I guess the first song that I fell in love with was probably a Smokey Hall song. But the song that I wanted to record was a country western song. It said, you get the hook and I get the pole, baby. We go down to the crawdad hole, honey, baby, mine. Man, I love that song. It was a country western song. You know, when I say that, you probably too young to know about the song, but man, that's the kind of thing I wanted to do, you know? And I wanted to do the country western thing because they talked the kind of talk that I taught. They just had a little twang to it, but it was like the blues, man. They talked, it was the same kind of sad kind of a setting, same kind of bring it up in the cotton fields, the chopping cotton, the picking cotton. Man, I pick cotton, I'd pick me 300 pounds way before the sun go down, you know? And that's why I come up picking cotton, chopping cotton, and stripping cane. Now, stripping cane come from the Louisiana side. When I got to Arkansas, it was picking cotton. And when it got to Mississippi, it was picking cotton and sugar cane and corn and peas and things like that. But in Louisiana, it wasn't as much cotton as it was sugar cane, because that's where they make syrup, you know? And that's so I learned about a lot of different kind of culture of farming by being in different part of the South. And when I went to go to Chicago, I didn't have enough money to buy my ticket to Chicago. So I bought a ticket from Pine Bluff, Arkansas to Memphis, Tennessee, where B.B. King, Sonny Boy Williams were living there, and Rufus Thomas. Then I worked on the street of Beale Street, made me about $3 or $4 a week till I got enough money to go to St. Louis where Chuck Berry and Albert King were. Then I made enough money in East St. Louis to get to Chicago where Muddy Waters, Hollow Whoop, T-Bone Walker, all the guys, Junior Wells and Buddy Guy came in 57, but he was much later than I. But during them times, that's where I wanted to be, man. When I got to Chicago, I thought I was in heaven, man. My first gig, I was in Robin, Illinois, out in the suburb of Chicago. I played behind a curtain every night where they wanted to hear my music. They wanted to see my face because the audience was white on. Yeah. So now I'm about the first guy who crossed over to be big in the white audience now. And yet I have this black audience that love me also. I crossed over, but haven't crossed out. There's a lot of guys who bigger than I am are just as big onto the white audience, but the black people don't know who they are. It's a lot of them like that. We don't get into name clause. There's a lot of guys out there playing now. The white people do know them, but the black people don't know them. I'm one of the few guys that I'm known on both sides of the fence.
As we move toward the end, I'd like for you, I know you started out when we started earlier, talking to the young people. I'd like for you to give your message to young people, young musicians, young individuals who may not be musicians, young folk who are going out for the first time, maybe, you know, going on a job, or some good advice.
Well, let me talk to the young people. It don't have to be all young people, just people who they haven't had the opportunity to do what they want to do in life. Whatever you want to do in life, make sure that you can do it and do it well. Because everybody's not a guitar player. See, you can teach a man how to play a guitar or a keyboard, a piano, a drum, whatever, but you can't teach a man how to be an entertainer. You got to be born to do that. That's a God gift. You got to be born to do it. You can have it in you, don't know about it, but it got to be in you. You can cultivate and make it better, but it got to be in you. I say that because you got to be good at what you do. If you're good at what you do, don't let the money get in the way of your success. Because you'll let the money get in the way of success, then you'll miss out on what you should or should not do in the beginning of your career. Because you got to look in the mirror and tell the truth to yourself. You know? Because you know, a miniskirt look good, but it don't look that good on a 95-year-old woman. That don't mean the miniskirt don't look good. It's just that it don't look good on her. So you got to know your voice. You got to know your talent. You got to know what you're capable to doing and what you like to do. Because one thing for sure, you want to do the thing that you love to do, because if you love to do it, you'll be better at it. And be good at what you do, because if you're good at it, you can get better and better at it. And people will hire you and pay you but what you're good at.
And can I think somewhere in your definition there, passion is important.
Yeah, but you got to wait on. You know, passion is so important because waiting on something is one thing, but waiting on something you want to do is another thing too. Let me explain that. Because what you want to do is one thing. What you can do is another thing. You got to know what you can do. You know, I often use the old saying, you know, in the Primer book when we was kids, so we saw the cow jump over the moon. It sounds good and it looks good, but the cow really didn't jump over the moon. But it's a good story. That's a good story. You know, every now and then you catch an 80-year-old man outrun a kid that 25 years old, but that don't happen often. That's not an average. That's not average. But what is average, if you're an entertainer and you're recording, if you're good at what you're doing, you may record 20 songs and don't nothing hit. But I tell you what, you keep recording because the law of average, you're going to get one. You're going to get one. Because in this business that I do, in the music business, the law of average is, come on, it's one out of a million. One out of a million. You may cut 100 records before you get one to go through. But then again, you may cut one and that go through. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, man. That's part of life. That's part of the ups and downs in it, you know. If anybody listen to me tonight, because this thing don't come easy. Nothing come easy. Every now and then you get 101 record. We call it one record minutes. They cut one record to get over. But most of the time, it takes a lot of records to record. It takes a lot of rehearsing, take a lot of doing, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I said that because I've been in my valleys a lot in my life, my ups and my downs. And every time I'm in one of my valleys, something or somebody come along and lift me up. So if you stay with you, what God give you, the gifts of God give you, if you down, you won't be down long because something or somebody come along and give you a helping hand mentally and raise you up and make you feel like you can do better. And when you feel like you can do better, you can do better. And my motto is to do all I can now while I can. When it comes a time I can't do, I won't regret what I did not do.
Well, I'll say my resolution is leave no regrets. And I have no regrets having a second opportunity to speak with 2-time Grammy Award winner, Blues Hall of Famer, and 16-time Blues Music Award winner, Mr. Bobby Rush. It's been my pleasure and my honor, sir, to speak with you today.
Well, thank you, man. It's been my pleasure and a double pleasure to be here with you to talk about some things that I just don't talk about all the time, but that's part of life and life goes on. Thank you for having me. I hope people can enjoy something that we shared to make them do better in their life. Because that's what it's about. It's not about what I've done. Because anything I do now is about someone else. It's not about me.
Thank you, sir. And I'm hoping that we'll have another chance to talk real soon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, take good care.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. My guest has been Bobby Rush, a 2-time Grammy Award winner. I'm ending today's program with Undercover Lover, as performed by Bobby Rush. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Hey, baby, is he gone yet? Love, I want you to know I'm a lover of a child. I'm a Scorpio. Bobby Rush is my name. Funky music, that's my thing. Making love to my woman is my thing. I'm a undercover lover. I'm a undercover lover, yeah. I'm a undercover lover, dog. Undercover lover, yeah. I am an undercover lover. Do all my work under the cover. see me coming, radio. When I if you need some loving, I won't pass you by. If you need some loving, girl, just wave your hand. I'll be your lover and your radio man. I'm an undercover lover. I'm an undercover lover. Well, I'm an undercover lover. Yes, I am. I'm an undercover lover. Well, I am an undercover lover. Do all my work under the cover.
Hey, babe, is he gone yet?
I am an undercover lover, do all my work under the cover. Something, baby, make you jump in joy. I can love to hear the sick. I can raise the dead. I can make the hair stand up on your head. I'm an undercover lover. I'm an undercover lover, yeah. I'm an undercover lover. Well, 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 well. I'm an undercover lover. Yes, I am. Undercover lover, yeah. I am an undercover lover, do all my work under the cover. Oh, yeah. I can do things to you, girl, that never been done. We can have fun like Jane Bond. Oh, undercover lover, oh, yeah. Undercover lover, yeah. That's a bone lover. I'm a lover. I'm the one that Jane Bond like to have some fun. I spy and I won't make you cry. And let me tell you the reason why.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.